Praise the Lord. Once again, I'd like to greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to thank God for making it possible for us to be together and to have the privilege of sharing with you at this Kingdom Conference. The theme on which I'm speaking today is When the Spirit Moves, Acting Justly, Loving Mercy, and Walking Humbly with God. Because when there is a move of the Spirit, the best way to see it is to see it in what the Spirit does in the lives of people, especially when it comes to relationships. And I'd like to take, in addition to what has been read from Micah chapter 6, verse 6 to 8, I'd like to take a short reading that speaks directly to this matter of social justice with God. So the gospel according to St. Luke chapter 8, I'll read from verse 43 to 48. Luke 8, 43 to 48. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. And though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his clothes, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. Then Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and press in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I noticed that power had gone out of me." When the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Amen. I speak to you this morning in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When the Spirit moves, acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. We have noted yesterday that the mission of God's church cannot be executed based simply on our human planning and strategies. When it comes to God, it doesn't matter how smart we are. God's mission must be driven by the values of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, when it comes, must affect personal and public morality, what Paul refers to as bearing the fruit of the Spirit, productiveness in the use of time. Paul talks about redeeming the time, contributing to the flourishing of others, family, friends, society, using your talents and abilities in order to enhance your contribution to various endeavors, and the use of your intellect and spiritual gifts to contribute to the life of the community. When the kingdom comes, we are functional because the Spirit uses us to be a blessing. In Romans 12, 6 to 8, Paul says we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. We are differently gifted and differently abled. And in 1 Corinthians 4:20, Paul says, "For the kingdom of God depends not on talk, but on power." So the Spirit of God functions through us so that his power will be felt in the community where he has positioned us. In other words, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit should be aimed at working towards the kingdom of God. And as we are aware, the word kingdom is an amalgam of the two expressions, king and domain. Its simplest meaning, therefore, would be the domain where God exercises influence. And that influence begins in our personal lives and stretches towards the created order. It must be seen in public affairs and must be seen in the church. Elsewhere in Romans 14, 17, Paul talks about the kingdom of God not being neither food nor drink. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink, he says, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. All the authentic revivals we have seen in this world, in the history of world Christianity, have made seismic and transformative impact on society. When taking from the book of Micah, the first reading that we had, we see how God is interested in the socioeconomic affairs of his people. God expects interventions when his Spirit is at work. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God. The gifts of God are not there to make us arrogant. They are there for us to submit to each other and serve each other as God would like us to serve. In Micah 3:7, God lays out his claim to the people, especially the leadership. The leadership was leading the people astray. They cry for peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against those who put nothing in their mouths. That is, declare war against the poor. And God says, "My punishment awaits such people. Therefore, it shall be no night to you without vision and darkness to you without revelation." Micah 3:6. The sun will go down on the prophet. Micah 3:7. And the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced because they had become deceptive, fraudsters, and the diviners put to shame. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. In the recent history of Christianity, I'm amazed at the numbers of televangelists and megachurch pastors who are recanting things they taught in the past. God seeks to establish social justice among his people by the workings of his Spirit. So as outlined in Micah 3:8, the prophet presents a different paradigm of leadership. He says, "But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." Prophetic leadership inspired by the Spirit of God is fearless, because it stands for the truth. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. So we already learned yesterday about bold repentance and openness to where God may be leading us when we experience his Spirit. The work of the kingdom has to be conceived designed and executed in God's way. And that's what the Spirit of Truth does among us. So Micah's request to the society, to the leadership, was simple. He has told you, O mortal, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God? Jesus literally says the same thing as articulated in his manifesto in Luke chapter 4, 18 to 19. Because what he says is not inconsistent with what Micah says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and the oppressed, to set them free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And as we know, in citing Isaiah, Jesus dropped the word vengeance from this declaration. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing, he said. And Jesus made those audacious claims because the Spirit of God was upon him. People of God, in the scriptures that I read from Luke, we encounter a situation that speaks to social justice. A woman whose health condition simply meant it was impossible to progress in life. Luke 8, verse 43a. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhage for 12 years. She had lived with this condition that to all intents and purposes simply meant her life had become miserable. When the Spirit of God is at work, we become sensitive to the plight of other people. That's what the kingdom is about. The kingdom is about. It's not about your personal accomplishments and achievements and needs. It's about noticing the other. The same verse 43. Her condition had affected her personal economic circumstances. Scripture says, and though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. It is possible that even some of the physicians knew that the condition was not curable, but they were just exploiting her by taking her money. In verse 44, her daring move paid off. Her desperation led her to make this daring move. She came up behind Jesus and tugged the fringe of his clothes. And that daring move made a difference. Immediately, her hemorrhage stopped. Praise the Lord. There are obstacles that hamper our fruitfulness and the descent of the kingdom upon our lives. But there is nothing that is beyond God. When it comes to God, evil can never have the last word. So in verses 45 to 46, Jesus said, power had gone out of me. Someone has touched me. And I pray that you will be the one who touches Jesus today. To understand the desperation of the woman, we need to put her condition into its right perspective. First, she had a medical problem. The woman had what seemed like a chronic health medical condition, a 12-year-old hemorrhage. That condition had affected her economic circumstances. So it wasn't just her health. Life was stuck against her. It had become an economic drain on her life. It had affected her finances, maybe her capital, and so she was no longer economically fruitful. And then thirdly, she had to live on the margins of society because that condition, to all intents and purposes, was considered a curse in the society where she lived. So she had a medical disadvantage, an economic disadvantage, and she had a social disadvantage. She had been marginalized by society because she would have been considered ritually unclean. Cultural beliefs can be very cruel. And from the society where I come, widowhood rights have consigned many women to the margins of society. So her health, her poverty, and her culture had become principalities and powers that denied her the glory that should come with fruitful living and being a daughter of the kingdom. In Luke 8:47, when the woman saw that she could not remain hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. The Jesus who stilled the storm, the Jesus who delivered a man from a legion of demons, and the Jesus who raised the daughter of Jairus from death, all in the same chapter, Luke chapter 8, is the same Jesus who brought this woman from seclusion into the limelight. Her story had become like that of Mary. He who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. In Luke 8:48, Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." The woman was acquitted and discharged. And for her, barrenness was turned into fruitfulness. Loss became profit. Shame was turned into glory. And exclusion became inclusion. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with God. That is what society failed to do for this woman. The medical, social, and cultural systems had been turned against this woman in such a way that she did not matter anymore. But you may not matter to anybody, but you matter to God. When His Spirit is at work, you matter. In dealing with the situation, Jesus puts into practical action what we have been called to do and to manifest when His Spirit is at work among us, bringing good news to the poor, proclaiming release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and letting the oppressed go free. All these interventions started with one fact: the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's how Jesus started. So, people of God, in God's kingdom, which is among us, when the Spirit is present, we do justice, we love mercy, and we walk humbly with God. God is aware of the odds that are stuck against His people, whether it is medical, economic, or social. All the things that have become obstacles to encountering the living God by His Spirit, He is aware of them. Health condition, wrongful habits, broken dreams and aspirations, personal mistakes and family issues. Whatever they are, a way out is to desperately bring them to the Lord in prayer. Many years ago, as a young seminary student, I entered seminary with a very bad ulcer. Couldn't sleep. I sleep. Day was breaking. Pain in my stomach. Been to the hospital many times. Done all that I could. It wouldn't go away. I was first year seminary student. One day, we went to church like this. It was Holy Communion. The Anglican clergyman was in the service. And when he raised the bread to bless it, I just sat quietly in my corner and I said, Lord, if this is truly your body and your blood, let it do something for me today. Time came, went to the Lord's table. I took it. In those days, I didn't used to eat pepper or anything that is acidic, like lime or oranges. Of course, if you want to know whether the Lord has done it, you try a bit of it. So I took a little pepper. One day, second day, and I have forgotten that I had a problem. My friends, people of God, like this woman, defy the odds, shoulder your way through the crowd, and just touch the fringe of his garment. Here at the Lord's table, come and say your prayer, and may the power of the Lord be manifest in your life. Amen.